Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Christian friends. Welcome to Fulfilled Bible Prophecy, presented to you by William Bell. We come to you by way of Blog Talk Radio, and we are thankful for the opportunity to do so. We are always grateful for your presence, for tuning in both live as well as those who tune in to listen to the archive broadcast. If you're getting value from this ministry and from our teachings, then we are certainly thankful to God, and we feel truly blessed because we're able to share with you some information that can help you in your understanding of the Bible, in your walk with Him, in reforming and refashioning your worldview so that you live a life of power and confidence without the fear and without the trepidation that many people have because of their concerns about what might happen in this world today. So you can live with a greater confidence and greater insight than most of the people who are alive today simply because they are listening to the wrong messengers. And when I say the wrong messengers, I mean they're trying to get their information about the end time from the tabloids, the TV, and the televangelists who might be a little bit hyped about an imminent return of the Lord, which is not what the Bible teaches. Now, we encourage you to give us a call at 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. Call us with your questions, your comments, or even offer your criticisms. We certainly are open and we welcome them. We realize that we are presenting to you things that may challenge your thinking, and that's why the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, both of Greeks and of honorable women, and of men, not a few. So the Bible says that as we search the scriptures, as we come together in reason, we may be led to faith, we may be led to belief, and therefore we want to encourage that. Our topic today is a continuation of the subject on yesterday, which is the Abomination of Desolation, Part 2. The Abomination of Desolation, Part 2, and we're going to be getting underway just momentarily. First of all, I'd like to give you our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. And we encourage you to visit our website so that you can take advantage of more of the instruction and teaching, audios, CDs, downloaded articles, etc., that you can use at your disposal to learn more about the end time. In addition, we encourage you to visit our second website, which is www.allthingsfulfilled.com, and there is a quiz that you can take to kind of test your knowledge. Of course, nobody's going to see the grade but you, and you can kind of test a little bit of your knowledge on some end time things. It's a very short quiz, about 10 questions maybe, and it happens very quickly. So do take the time to go over and check it out. We will be putting up more Bible quizzes later on as we complete our website at Last Days Eschatology, lastdays-eschatology.net, I should say. But we still have quite a bit of work to do on that. We're still adding articles, not on a daily basis, but at least weekly and sometimes daily. But we are working to reach a certain goal with the number of articles and information that we have there. And so it's going to take us a bit of time to get to the point that we are striving to achieve. But when we do, we'll have a variety of teaching resources and materials there, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. We also have a book that we would like to encourage you to purchase and read. It is called The Re-Examination, and it's based on the fact that men have taught one thing, and we're just asking you to re-examine some of the things. And it's a very easy-to-follow study. It's a book of about 100 pages, And there's a link you'll see on the website. If you'll just take a look at the links section over to the right, you will see, first of all, the eschatology quiz, and that's what takes you to the other website, but you'll also see the re-examination End Time Studies by William Bell. And if you will just click on that, it'll take you to the actual book, and you can purchase it. We encourage you to read it. And if you're not satisfied with it, just return the book. That's all. There's a no-risk, money-back guarantee. So we just want you to get the information and study it, consider it, and then make and form your own opinions about it. But I think you will find it great reading, because what it does is it compares two views, and actually touches on more than two, but it shows you the difference in those views laid out side by side, and it gives you a better perspective from which you can make some good decisions about your understanding of the end time. And, of course, we're always re-examining things, so we ask you to take a look at it. Now, our topic today is The Abomination of Desolation, Part 2. The Abomination of Desolation, Part 2. We encourage you to give us a call and offer your comments. The number to call is 646-378-1919. Again, the number is 646-378-1919. Now, when we talked on yesterday, we mentioned the abomination of desolation from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. That was the subject that was mentioned, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, which was our text for the subject of the abomination of desolation. And we talked concerning the subject to show the context being in the first century. We laid out several passages that pointed out what Jesus was leading up to and sort of laid a foundation for you. So I would encourage you also to go back and listen to the broadcast from yesterday, because that will give you a bit more of a foundation in terms of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to focus more on the precise meaning of the abomination of desolation on today, and so we're going to be focused more in that area versus the foundational information that we laid on yesterday. So to further appreciate and to fully appreciate the information that we have, we encourage you to look at both of, or listen to both of the lessons. Now, in Matthew 24 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Now, as we were closing the lesson on yesterday, we were talking about the gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end would come. So first of all, one of the signs that was leading up to this abomination of desolation and leading up to the coming of Christ was the gospel being preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Now, I am very well aware that there are people today who do not believe that the gospel was, in fact, preached to all the world in the first century generation. In other words, the apostles carried out the command of the Lord just as he commanded them. They were faithful. They were obedient. They risked their lives to do it. They traveled on by foot and by animal, by boat, but they did it without 500-mile-an-hour jet airliners or Learjets or any other form. They did it without the internet. And they did it without commercial broadcasting, without any other type of media. They were able to preach the gospel to all the world within their own lifetime. Now, I gave you a couple of passages on yesterday, and we pointed out from Luke chapter 2, 1 and 2, that Caesar Augustus made a decree that all the world should be registered for the census. And the Bible says this census took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. Well, that was in the first century generation, because none of us who are here alive today were involved in that census taking by Augustus Caesar. Now, the word world in the text, as we pointed out, was orchumene, and it means the inhabited earth, and primarily it involved the Roman Empire. So when the Bible spoke about all of those being registered in the census according to Caesar Augustus, it was talking about the world then as it was. Now, I want you to take note of the fact that the verse in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 is the same word. It's the word orchumene. It means the inhabited earth. And so Jesus was saying no more in Matthew 24, 14 than Caesar Augustus was saying in Luke 2 and verse 1 when he said there should be a census taken of all the world. That meant all the world living at that time. The same thing was true concerning the preaching of the gospel to all the world within the first century generation. Now, one other passage on that, and then we're going to talk particularly about the abomination of desolation. If you will, make a note of Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, because this chapter has a couple of very key passages in relationship to the preaching of the gospel as a sign of the end to all the world within the first century. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. Now the gospel that had been laid up in heaven, which they had heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, the Bible says had come to you. Now the you in the text was the Colossians. In other words, the word had come to the Colossians. Now, not only then had it come to the Colossians, and of course we know that they were living in the first century, we also should recognize that it says that the gospel had come not only to the Colossians, but he says, and is, or as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So as it had come to the Colossians, the scripture says it had also come in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard it. Now, therefore, God affirms, the Bible affirms, the apostles affirm that the gospel had been preached to all the world within their lifetime. In addition, in verse 23, the scripture says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. There again, he talks about the fact that the Colossians had heard it, and then he says, which was preached to every creature, or to all the creation, is the meaning of the text, under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, if God says this, then if we have faith in God, we should believe that the words of God are, in fact, truly inspired and true, and therefore there can be no lie of the truth. And therefore we accept that God has communicated to us in his word that they did in fact preach the gospel in the first century. Now, following this, Jesus makes the statement in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, where he says, but when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, let's point out a couple of things here. First of all, when we talk about abomination, we're talking about something that is disgusting in the sight of God, something that is deplorable, something that he abhors. It is something, and especially it relates to idolatry. And of course, this was something that the Bible says would be the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. Now, let me point out that the holy place was the temple. The holy place was the temple. And the temple, of course, was located in Jerusalem. So in some manner, in some way, these Israelites were going to bring an abomination of desolation into the temple, or an abomination that would cause God to bring about desolation of the temple or destruction of the temple. It was a sign that when they committed this horrible and heinous crime and this sacrilegious crime, they were going to bring upon themselves a destruction, a desolation of their temple. Now, in order for us to understand what this is, we should go back and look at Daniel, and we should look at a couple of other of the Old Testament prophets, and it will give us some idea. It will give us some information and knowledge, some insight in terms of what this is. And by the way, let me say this. There are some who believe that in order for these prophecies to be fulfilled, that God has to reinstate, or in some way man has to reinstate, I would presume, the Roman Empire. In other words, these men have recognized, and I'm talking about the TV evangelists, I'm talking about those who write in the tabloids, and I'm talking about those who are involved in speaking about end time things, especially as they see it as an imminent occurrence of events for today. These people have recognized that the setting, the historical setting, the framework in which these events are to occur would be during the days of Rome. In other words, during the days of Rome. So here's how they try to find a way to force fit these events into an end time scenario. They argue for and seek to establish the reincarnation of ancient Rome. Some of them have gone so far as to say that the United States is the Roman Empire or will become the Roman Empire. Some have argued for the European Union. And these are all conjectures that men have made because they cannot find the historical evidence for the fulfillment of their prophecies in today's time. They have no setting for these events to occur. They cannot find any fulfillment unless they try to re-inaugurate and reincarnate the ancient city of Rome. But there is no need to do that. There is absolutely no need to do that whatsoever. The point is simply to understand when God said these things were going to occur, and therefore to acknowledge them in the setting that God has given. Now let me take a moment and pause, give you the number that you can call in and ask a question. That number is 646-378-1919. You'll be live on the air. You get your question on the air. If you have a comment, we encourage you to voice your comment as well. And even if you have a criticism, we are not opposed to having people offer their criticisms. That doesn't mean that we may not respond to you. Of course, we might respond, and we may not. You may have a very, very valid point, and we'll just simply acknowledge it and keep on trucking. At any rate, the point being is that we are open to listening to those both who may agree, those who disagree, and those who are not sure whether they agree or not at this point in time. Now, as we were saying, the setting for these events was the Roman Empire, but there is no need to reinstate the Roman Empire. And furthermore, it cannot fit the context in which Jesus is speaking, because he's talking to people then living about circumstances and events which they would experience. And my point is simply this. You cannot reconstitute and reincarnate the old Roman Empire without bringing back all the people from the first century generation. You're going to have them all if you're going to make this work. Otherwise, it is of no consequence whatsoever. You can call anything you want the Roman Empire, but if you don't bring back the people from ancient Rome, then you haven't really reincarnated anything. You haven't reinstituted or reinaugurated, reestablished anything. Here's why. Because Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." And so we've got to have that same generation that was living then in the first century if we're going to have the same Rome. And there's no way possible to do it. So to talk about a reconstitution of the Roman Empire, whether it be in the guise of the United States or the European Union or Russia or some other country that a person wants to say it is, it simply betrays the fact that they cannot find the fulfillment for a futuristic view. It simply demonstrates the fact that if it's got to be a new one, that it cannot be the one that is talked about in the scriptures, because it's never going to work. Now let's get down to Daniel in terms of Daniel's prophecy concerning the abomination of desolation. In Daniel chapter 9, and this is where you will find the mention of the abomination of desolation, in Daniel chapter 9, beginning at about verse 24, and we're going to read down just a couple of verses here. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And so the Bible says that 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. In other words, the end time of Israel was going to take place within this period called the 70 weeks of Daniel. It was not going to extend beyond that point. And these 70 weeks, of course, are prophesied in the Old Testament. And Jesus made the statement in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 22, that when Jerusalem was destroyed, that those were the days in which all things which were written would be fulfilled. Now, that being said, he's telling us that when the Romans of the first century destroyed Jerusalem of the first century, that was the fulfillment of Daniel's 70 weeks. And therefore, in connection with the overthrow of the temple, just as we see in Matthew 24 and verse 3, when they ask the question, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the completion of the age? They were asking when the temple was going to be destroyed, and in connection therewith, the coming of the Lord and the end of the age. And so, as we consider further on in this text, the Bible says, and after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, I'm reading verse 26, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, that takes place after the Messiah is cut off. After Jesus is crucified, the Bible says that the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with the flood until the end of the war. Now, we do have a lot of what I call the spiritual warmongers today, and when I say spiritual warmongers, I mean that with all kindness. But my point being is that these people they just seem to be fanatical about engaging in war and conflict and destroying lives in order to bring about some end-time scenario for our day and time. People are losing their lives, families are being destroyed, property is being devastated, countries are being uprooted, and it's just total and massive destruction, massive weapons of destruction. And people, they seem to be just energized and charged with it and just fanatically engaged in this war talk and just fascinated with it. Well, the Bible talked about a war, but that war is in the past. And we don't need to continue to recreate the war of the first century. We don't need to be trying to create end-time wars because the war that God talked about has already taken place. It was within the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so he says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So we have this term, the desolate. We have this term, the consummation. That's the consummation of the age that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24 when he says, when the disciples asked him, when will these things be? That's the overthrow of the temple, the holy place. What shall be the sign of your coming and of the completion of the age? When is the consummation of these things? The abomination of desolation was going to be a sign that led up to the overthrow of the Jewish temple in the first century generation. Now let's go to the book of Ezekiel and let's look at the abomination of desolation. Now some people say that the abomination of desolation was the Romans who came to destroy Jerusalem. In other words, that it was the Gentiles who desecrated the holy place. Well, I'm not so sure that I would accept that interpretation simply because the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans was a result of the abomination of desolation. In other words, it was the abomination of desolation that caused the war to take place. The fact that Israel desecrated, or at least in my judgment, and I'm going to give you the reasons for that momentarily, because Israel desecrated the temple is the reason why God brought the judgment and the war, the Romans against them, to destroy it with war and with fire and burn it to the ground, which he calls a flood of destruction. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 8, we have some examples of the temple being filled with abominations during the days of Ezekiel. This was prior to Jerusalem's destruction in 586 BC. So let's look at how the temple was infiltrated with abominations, how they desecrated the temple with abominations. Now, the Bible says in verse 3, and I won't go through all of this for the sake of time. We do encourage you to read further as well. But let's look at verse 3. It says, "He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair." This was the appearance of, in this vision, of this one who appeared to Ezekiel. And the Bible says that he took out, or he stretched out the form of a hand, took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions to God, or in visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. Now here's an image that was sitting here that the Bible says provoked to jealousy. Now let's go on. "And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north.' So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, 'Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations.'" Now, let's ask ourselves this question. Who was committing these abominations? It was Israel. It was the house of Israel. He says, "Do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary?" By bringing these abominations in and polluting the temple, God left the temple, because it was supposed to be a holy place. And bringing in these idols that they did made God jealous. He says he is a jealous God. They were to have no other gods before him, and they did this as a total insult before him. "So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, dig into the wall.' And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, 'Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there.' So I went in and saw, and there, every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.' And he said to me, 'Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing.'" That's the house of Israel. "So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, 'Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these.' So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, 'Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with their violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will also act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them." And in the ninth chapter, we see that God's glory departed from the temple, and he brought destruction upon them by Nebuchadnezzar. The same thing happened in the first century when the Jews polluted the temple. The zealots of the Jews polluted that temple. God brought the Roman invasion against Jerusalem to destroy it. That was the abomination of desolation in the first century generation. It was the Jews themselves who committed the abomination, just as it was the Jews in the prior destruction of the temple in 580 B, 586 BC, when it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The same scenario. It was simply a repeat. They did not learn from the previous lesson. Well, that's our study on the abomination of desolation. That's about all the time that we have for today. It's been a pleasure being with you. We encourage you to visit us at our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Lastdays-eschatology.net. Also visit us at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. That's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. I'm William Bell saying have a very pleasant good morning. May God bless you and keep you.